topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you don't believe in the Almighty and you are just carrying on with your life and hoping that something pleasant will happen when you die, you're in for a nasty shock. You could end up in your grave with your corpse, rotting corpse. You could end up in the furnace at the crematorium. Or you might end up haunting one of your children or friends or whoever. Not a good place to be. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness in heaven, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" Think about it. If you've believed at some stage and then carried on living your life as though the Almighty doesn't exist, why should he do anything nice for you when you die? Doesn't make sense, does it? If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may know as Jesus. The Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." So if you really go all out to become a friend of the Almighty, the rewards are huge. Even if you don't make it as a friend, even if you make it as a good and faithful servant or even a wise steward, you will get great prestige in heaven. Worth it, absolutely worth it. Overview of tonight's program: hell is real and for believers. Sorry, that's not right. Judgment in this life, part one. This broadcast discusses the subject of judgment in this life for believers. It notes that history is packed with examples of judgment in this life. It is pointed out that things can go wrong because of our own actions or omissions. It is explained that the satanic realm seek whom they may devour. It is further explained that Yahushua is our advocate because there is a court. It is noted that Satan or his representative is the prosecutor in the court of heaven. It is further explained that Satan and his forces also stimulate sin and error. We discuss Job as an example of the operation of the court of heaven. We then look at Ahab as an example of how the forces of darkness are used to execute sentence. Finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I've been a strategic management consultant for the last 30 years and a business executive for the last 4 years. I have 27 years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. When I say audibly, I mean as clearly as you can hear me now. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Questions from last week's program. Philip asked, is life to be our line of study to minister? Philip, yes, you will minister within the parameters of what you've learned in life. As I said last week and the week before, basically as a believer, you're either a baby and you're being nurtured by and looked after by a shepherd, which is for a year or two, while you're learning and getting to learn the ropes and teaching yourself, or you're a spokesman, a woman, prophet, prophetess, or an evangelist, or a shepherd. Father doesn't like the word pastor, by the way. You're called to be one of those, and you will get training on the job. It's not for you to sit in church or mosque or synagogue or wherever for years and years and years and be taught. Learn the basics, get out there and do the job. You've got the Spirit of the Almighty to help you. Lester asks, you're teaching from first-hand experiences. Lester, in many cases, I am. In the case of the previous couple of messages on hell, no, I've not been to hell, not had visions like that. I'm just reporting what I've learned from others. But most of the rest that I teach on, and like the teaching tonight on judgment in this life, I've got rich personal experience on. Francis asked, if we forget a sin to repent for, will we have to spend time in hell? Yes, you will. If you go back about 3-4 months, there's a series of, I think, 9 broadcasts on 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty. There's a whole series there on cleansing, and there's a process there in terms of which you go back on your life from the time you were born, year by year, and make notes and ask Father to show you everything you need to repent of. So you clean up. It's an ongoing process. Once you decide to deal with sin in your life, you will go for years where suddenly you'll suddenly remember a moment where you lied or something. You can pray sort of omnibus prayers that will cover at a level, but if it's anything significant, you have to deal with it and, if necessary, make restitution, as I said a few times. Avery asked, how do we know if we're strong enough to convert? Avery, you don't have to be strong to convert. In fact, the people who become the most powerful converts are ones who are probably pretty broken and weak at the time that they converted. It's about knowing that Father wants to help you. Father wants to guide you. Father wants to lead you. He's given you His Spirit to teach you. Praying the right prayers. You don't have to be strong to convert. You can do it right now, and we'll pray towards the end of this broadcast if that's something you want to do. Avery asked, if you do convert, how will you know if you've had enough time to repent? Avery, you can start just by praying. The important thing to realize, if you're a new believer, if you've never believed and you come to believe today, there is huge grace for the next 7 days. You just get on your knees, you take the bread and wine, the covenant meal, the communion, and you say, Father, I confess that I've sinned. I've confessed I've been an unbeliever. I've confessed that as an unbeliever, I've committed numerous sins. And I take the bread and wine now, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. If you come to belief now for the first time, you will get cleaned out very, very quickly. It's only if you came to belief in a sort of half-hearted way years ago and you've carried on as before sinning, then you've got some hard work to do. Missy asked, do you have to do time in all the spaces of hell, or do you go to the one you need punishment from before you can get to the Almighty? Missy, you go only to those, call them departments for want of a better word, that deal with the sins that you committed. And you spend time in them in proportion to the time that you spent committing those sins and the number of sins, times you committed those sins. Pam asks, do you mean rapists and murderers can repent and be in heaven? Yes, Pam, I do. Remember that repent means a deep, heartfelt turning around. It's not, oh, I'm sorry, Father, I won't do that again, please forgive me. Repent is, Father, I realize that what I did was wrong, I've sinned, I turn around, I ask you to forgive me, and I choose to go in the opposite direction. So a rapist and murderer who becomes a believer or who is a believer at the time of the sin can be forgiven, but then they must walk out their repentance. They mustn't carry on behaving the way they did in the past. Jasmine said, I heard a commercial about a move. Is this a fact? Jasmine, there's lots of talks about moves. There's no move that I know of at the moment. Not a real move. There are things happening with people using the wrong names and the wrong Sabbaths and stuff like that, but not people who are really getting close to Father. I'd like to believe that what we're doing here is the beginning of some sort of a movement. Macy asked, how can we live without sin? Macy, tonight I'm going to talk to you about a few things that will help you with that. It's about making a quality decision and then being alert to sin. It's not really that difficult. It's a quality decision and self-discipline. So tonight's program, Judgment in This Life. Yah sits on a throne. Yahshua, Jesus, is our advocate. Satan is the accuser. There is a court of heaven, and judgments are constantly handed down. Loss, lack, illness, accidents, premature death, in the life of a believer, and even sometime in the lives of unbelievers, are at some level a direct consequence of a judgment in the court of heaven. The satanic realm bring an accusation. For example, Job, believer, is in adultery. We want a sentence of death. Yahushua, the advocate, says Job is a young believer. I ask for mitigation of sentence. Yah says, let him break a leg. The satanic realm goes out and arranges for Joe to have an accident. Whether it is cancer, a burglary, or financial lack, there is a similar court process that is required for that thing to happen. It is vital to understand this, and once a judgment is experienced, to seek guidance from Yah, confess, repent, clean up, so that there is no further judgment. Once you understand judgment in this life, it no longer becomes a matter of casual discretion as to whether you clean up your life and live according to the commandments and precepts of Yah. In March 2013, I wrote an article on judgment in this life. At that time, I wrote, I continue to encounter believers who do not understand that there is judgment in this life and that nothing will go wrong in their lives other than through their own foolishness, laziness, negligence, or sin. In this broadcast, I will give you the basis of judgment in this life and give advice on how to avoid such judgment. In the sections that follow, I will build a picture step by step of the courtroom of heaven and how it operates so that you're no longer unsure of how things go wrong in your life and what to do about it. History is packed with examples of judgment in this life. The historical accounts contained in the book, the Bible, are packed with cases of judgment in this life. Things that happen that cause loss, inconvenience, death, etc. Immediately following their rebellion in disobeying the commandment of Yah, Adam and Chava, Eve, are banished from the garden, and huge judgment was pronounced over the sons, children of Adam, that remain in force today. In the time of Noah, huge judgment was pronounced over the earth, and the flood resulted. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire from the sky. Egypt experienced repeated judgments, culminating in the slaughter of the firstborn and the drowning of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Moshe, Moses, was judged for striking the rock and died before entering the Promised Land. David was judged for his adultery with Bathsheba, was deposed by his son, and had to flee Jerusalem, and had his 10 covenant women servants or concubines raped in the sight of all Jerusalem. Folks, there are many, many more instances in the Bible. And if you read the Bible and you don't ask the question, why did this bad thing happen here? Why did this happen there? Why did the flood come? Who prayed? Who did what? You're missing the point. You need to put yourself in the shoes of the anointed people that are described in the Bible and imagine that you're that person and try and understand why the things that happened to them happened to them. Try to understand what they prayed. Try to understand the conversations they had with Yah. It's a very different way of reading the Bible. Continuing with a few more examples, Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead for lying to the set-apart Holy Spirit of Yah. Saul, Paul, suffered severe judgments from the time he was taken prisoner in Jerusalem to the time that he got to Rome for his disobedience in going to Jerusalem when Yah told him not to go. There are clear indications of judgment to come at the end of this age on the living and the dead. I spoke at length the last few broadcasts on believers going to hell. That's judgment at the end of your life. If you follow what I'm teaching tonight and next week, you won't have to go to hell. There are numerous other historical passages that speak of judgment in this life. If you are not aware of judgment in this life, you are ignorant of one of the most important factors that influence your life as a believer. And it is vital that you give deep and prayerful consideration to what follows. Some people say that judgment ended with Yeshua. Well, Ananias and Sapphira were after Yeshua. Paul, Saul, Shaul was after Yeshua. Folks, the forces of darkness are watching you. They're looking for your sin. They're looking for the opportunity to get judgments on you. But if you're full of sin and you're serving Satan, they're not going to worry about you. I'm talking here about people who are making a real effort to serve Yah, the Almighty Creator. You may know Him as the Lord. Very, very different situation. A bit of an aside, your own doing, not judgment necessarily. Your own foolishness can cause things to go wrong in this life without there necessarily being sin. A woman who simply does not do the things that she should do as a covenant woman or wife may experience strife with her covenant man husband simply because her behavior is not acceptable to him. Likewise, a man can experience strife because he does not treat his covenant woman well. A lazy person will experience things going wrong without necessarily breaking any of the commandments. An argumentative person will experience things going wrong without necessarily breaking any of the commandments. If something is not working in your life, the first place to look is whether you are being ill-disciplined, not conducting yourself in a constructive and appropriate fashion, etc. If you're doing these things, you need to course correct before you expect the things that are taught in the remainder of this broadcast to work for you. Folks, it's really important to understand Father is our provider, He's our healer, He's our deliverer, He's our savior, He's our counselor, He's our comforter, and He wants to be our friend. There are great blessings for serving Yah in this life. But if you're in sin, those blessings will get lost, unless you're in the sort of sin where you are not a threat to Satan. So there's a piece here that if you are a supposedly strong believer, but you're worshipping God instead of Yah, worshipping Yeshua, if you say you're a believer in Jesus, if you're worshipping the Bible, the chances are the forces of darkness are going to let you alone because you're not a threat to them. Next point. The satanic seeks who they may devour. In 1 Peter 5:8 it is written, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Take particular note of the word may. Satan and his forces cannot touch you without permission from Yah, and that permission will only be given if there's sin in your life. So the next time that Satan or his cohorts touch your life and you're wondering why, stop rebuking Satan. Look in the mirror and ask yourself what you've done to open the door for Satan and the forces of darkness to operate in your life. I say again, Satan and the forces of darkness cannot touch you unless you have sin in your life. This is so important, folks. Also important to recognize that a lot of believers, certainly a lot of charismatic Christians, use what I call force of faith to overcome judgments. So you have this dichotomy that on the one hand, Yah is giving the forces of darkness a legal right to do something damaging in the life of the believer. And on the other hand, the believer is using force of faith to overcome that judgment. So on the one hand, they are getting judged with a judgment for an accident. On the other hand, they use force of faith to cut off the accident at the last minute and near escape, etc. But you need to realize those things are happening because there's something wrong in your life. Another point, Yeshua is our advocate. Jesus, you may know him as, wrong name, don't use it. Why? There is a court. In 1 John 2:1 it is written, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua the anointed of Yah, you may know him as Jesus Christ, the righteous." Believers love to quote this verse, but they do not understand its significance. What is an advocate? An advocate is a senior legal representative who speaks on behalf of the defendant in a court case. The advocate knows the law and ensures that the evidence of the defendant is appropriately structured and argued in order to ensure the most favorable outcome in the court. So why does Yeshua need to be our advocate? Because there is a court and we do get charged. So Satan and his forces constantly patrol the earth, looking for sin, and then they bring charges to the court of heaven, and Yeshua represents us as our advocate. The forces of darkness are not obliged to bring charges. They can wait until the sin builds up and then bring charges in order to secure a heavier sentence. Or if the person concerned is serving Satan at a material level, the forces of darkness may choose not to bring charges, as the lack of repercussions for sin may encourage the person concerned to dig themselves deeper and deeper into sin and therefore remain in the service of Satan. Notice that John says, "That ye sin not." Folks, core part of my message, don't sin, stop it. It's not necessary. It's a lie that you have to sin, absolutely. You can stop sinning right now if you want to. First of all, you need to understand what sin is, then you need to stop doing it. Stop lying, stop cheating, stop using the wrong name, stop worshiping Jesus, stop worshiping the Bible, observe the Saturday Sabbath, honor your parents, etc. Continuing the point that I just made, this is the reason so many Christians remain in their huge errors with regard to worshipping Jesus, using the wrong names, worshipping the Bible, using the cross, keeping Sundays the Sabbath, etc. By doing these things, they're in service of Satan, and so Satan and his cohorts have no reason to bring charges. They know that the offenders will be judged at the end of their lives and will probably end up in hell for a significant time. Yeshua, as our advocate, can plead for mercy. He's lived in this world and knows how difficult it is, and therefore, if you are in ignorance or a young believer or have asked for grace in an area you're battling with, Yeshua has the right to plead for grace on your behalf, and it may be granted. However, if you're a mature believer who should know better, then there is no grace. You must face the full consequences of your sin. If you've prayed, "Father, judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly," then you have voluntarily requested the withdrawal of grace, and you should expect the full force of the law of Yah to be applied against you when you sin. Albeit, he is merciful and will not allow you to be tested beyond what you can endure. I first prayed that prayer in about 1998. I started praying it regularly around about 2009, 2010. And I pray it regularly to this day. I recommend that prayer. Even here, if Yah has given you a particular mission that you are not well equipped for, Yah may still extend grace at his discretion and Yahshua's request. You may well ask why you would pray for judgment. The simple answer is that the more you are judged in this life, and the more sensitive you are to judgment, and the more willing you are to course correct when judgment comes, the less severe will be your judgment at the end of your life. The more likely you will be to overcome to the end of your life, and the better equipped you will be to sit on our high throne alongside Yeshua as a king and judge in the court of heaven. There is great reward for actively seeking to be judged in this life. Seeking judgment in this life is a prerequisite for living a life above sin in this life. If you or leading people to Jesus and God and the Lord and the Bible, you're not serving the Creator. You're serving Jesus and God and the Bible. You're breaking the first commandment. You're breaking the second commandment. You're breaking the third commandment. Satan's very happy with you. You need to realize that you can't just carry on with sin. You've got to start actively seeking truth, praying prayers like, "Father, lead me into all truth by your Spirit. Father, show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it." And then making the corrections, making the adjustments. There's a huge amount on my website, over 1,000 web pages, that'll help you with that. Further point. Satan or his representative is the prosecutor in the court. In Revelation 12:10, reference is made to the accuser of our brethren, which accused them before our mighty one, not God, day and night. Here we see confirmation of what is written above. Satan and his cohorts are before the throne, which equals the judgment seat of Yah, day and night, bringing accusations against the brethren. So they're not that concerned about those who are not believers. Why should they be? Those people are Satan's servants. Satan and his cohorts will not bring charges unless Yah forces their hand. Examples to follow. They concentrate on the brethren, those who believe, and in fact, they concentrate most of their energy on those who are making a real effort to serve Yah. If you're lukewarm, not praying much, not doing much to serve Yah, and not constituting a real threat to Satan and his forces, he'll leave you alone a lot of the time. To the extent that there are bloodline curses and similar factors at play, they may attack you at some level, but their preferred mode of operation is to leave you alone in your sin. In the same way, if you are worshipping Jesus and worshipping the Bible and breaking the other commandments, even if you are quite strong in doing that, you are not necessarily a threat to Satan. If you're leading people to belief in Jesus and the Bible, you're not a threat to Satan at all. You're doing his work. The reason there's so many Bibles in the earth is that Satan sees them as a useful tool. If, on the other hand, the satanic see that you are a threat to them, they will focus all the attention necessary and try and keep you from having the time and energy to serve Yah. So if you're reading or listening to this and questioning the validity of what is written here, then check out your standing with Yah. Unless you've prayed prayers like, Father, I give you my life to do with as you will, or Father, I desire to be found a good and faithful servant at the end of my life, or something else along these lines, and you're making an effort to grow closer to Yah and to serve him, then Satan and his forces will likely leave you alone. But if you have made a serious commitment and are really serving Yah or seeking to serve him materially, then expect that there's a whole army of demons and fallen messengers or angels watching your every word and deed and looking for every situation that will give them a right to destroy you or attack you or damage you in any way they can. If you fall into this category, it is vital that you understand what is spoken here. Folks, prayers are so important. Father can do nothing in your life unless you give him permission. So if you look on the website and the pages on prayers, if you go back on the broadcasts about a bit over a year, there was a series on prayer. There are a whole lot of powerful prayers that give Father the right to move in your life. Father, bring the people you want into my life. Take the people you don't want in my life out. Open the doors you want open in my life. Close the doors you want closed in my life. Help me to be sensitive to those leadings. Help me to take advantage of the opportunities you give me, and so on and so on and so on. Next point. Satan and his forces also stimulate sin and error. Notwithstanding what I've said a few moments ago, Satan and his cohorts will seek to lead all people into sin and error. That is part of their mandate with Satan as mighty one of this world. And they do not need the consent of the court of heaven to do this. So they will bring temptation, get people to curse you, assign demons to find a basis on which they can attach themselves to you, bring people and material to you that will bring you into wrong teaching or doctrine, etc. These attempts will only take effect if you submit to them and do not discern correctly that these things are sin, error, and so forth. It is so that a curse without a cause cannot alight. In other words, no matter how much Satanists, witch doctors, etc. curse you, those curses will only have effect if you open the door for them to attach to you and operate against you. So the forces of darkness can curse you, but they need the consent of the court of heaven for those curses to operate. So important to understand. The satanic realm is constantly looking to trip you up. They're constantly looking to lead you into sin and error. And the world is full of sin and error. Doesn't matter who you talk to, where you go, there's sin and error everywhere. Choosing to live above sin, without sin, is choosing to be set apart, separated, holy. And then doing the hard work. It's totally possible. Sometime before writing the article that this broadcast is based on, I discovered through a number of Yah's spokespersons, prophets and prophetesses, that there were something like 193 death curses against me. but they were not touching me because I did not have sin in my life deserving of a death sentence. Had I committed any sin deserving of a death sentence, all of those curses would immediately have kicked in, and I would likely have been killed very quickly, whether in a motor car accident, through a deadly disease, or whatever, unless I had rapidly repented and turned from my sin and returned to Yah. If you have had close shaves with death, you need to look at what sin there is in your life that is opening the way for the forces of darkness to gain the right to take your life or cause major accidents or whatever. You can claim the promises of Yah, and at some level these will offset the consequences of your sin, but it will be a constant battle for Yah to save your life when at the same time he's forced to give judgments against you. So really important, the example there of the death curses. They could not touch me. They were trying to get rid of me because I was making a really significant impact. I was bringing all truth. I was bringing, turning people away, and they could see that if I continued to live, I would do a lot of damage. So they had witches and warlocks and Satanists, etc., cursing me. But they could not touch me because I was free of sin. Can you see how powerful that is? I'm not saying live recklessly and then you won't have to bear the consequences. I'm saying live responsibly, serve Yah faithfully, and then they can't touch you. Next point, Job, an example of the operation of the court of heaven. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 6 to 13, we see a clear description of the operation of the court of heaven. Now there was a day when the sons of the Almighty, or God, came to present themselves before Yah, the eternally self-existing, that you would know as the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Yah, the eternally self-existing, and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth Yah and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered Yah, the eternally self-existing, and said, Doth Job fear the Almighty for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yah, the eternally self-existing. So we see the court of heaven where Satan has been roaming the earth. We see that a dialogue takes place between Satan and Yah regarding what Satan has found and specifically relating to Job. We see that Satan is of the view that Job is protected by Yah in every possible way, such that Satan cannot touch Job. But we see that Yah actually tells Satan that all that Job has is in your power, but that Satan is not permitted to touch Job's person. It was widely believed that Job is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, passage in the collection of writings known as the Bible. And with this information, together with a description of what happens in the court, we deduce that the situation took place early on when sin was not widespread in the earth and when Satan did not fully know his legal rights. In Job 3:25, we see the basis of the judgment against Job. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Here we see that by his own admission, Job was walking in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is faith in Satan and the forces of darkness and distrust of Yah. Accordingly, Job, through his fear, gave Satan a legal right to touch all the things he feared losing. Later, in Job chapter 2, we see that Satan is also permitted to touch Job's person, but not kill him. And in Job chapter 29, we see that Job was also walking in pride And so since pride is also sin, because it exalts oneself against the knowledge of Yah, Satan was also permitted to humiliate Job. If you do not understand this about the story of Job, you can draw seriously wrong conclusions. The fundamental lesson is that no matter how righteous you are, no matter how much you are in right standing with Yah, any sin in your life will grant Satan the legal right to cause you loss, suffering, illness, disease, etc. Another example, Ahab, an example of how the forces of darkness are used to execute sentence. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 to 24, and 2 Chronicles 18, we see another example of the court of heaven in operation. And he said, this is one of the prophets, "Hear thou therefore the word of Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. I saw Yah the Eternally Self-Existing sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And Yah the Eternally Self-Existing said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before Yah the Eternally Self-Existing and said, I will persuade him. And Yah the Eternally Self-Existing said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and Yah the Eternally Self-Existing hath spoken evil concerning thee." Here we see a situation in which Ahab, who has sinned mightily against Yah and Yah's servants, and has seemingly escaped Yah's judgment, crosses the line, and Yah decides to kill him. Yah puts the judgment to the court of heaven and asks for volunteers to execute the death sentence. A demon comes forward and offers to be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets, and Yah gives his blessing to the course of action proposed by the demon. We read before and after this passage how the demon was able to carry out the sentence and how Ahab died a long and lingering death after being shot by an arrow fired at random that penetrated between the joints in his armor, thereby giving effect to a prophetic statement of his death given by the spokesman of Yah, or prophet Eliyahu, or Elijah. Folks, again, you can read the story superficially without insight, or you can read it and ask questions. How did this happen? What did Ahab do? How do I avoid ending up like Ahab? What did the prophet do? How come most of the prophets spoke lies? How do I avoid speaking lies? How do I avoid being oppressed, oppressed by demons? Once you decide to really serve Father, and you decide to seek truth, no matter what it costs you, you decide to get free of sin, no matter what it costs you, the benefits are huge. The opportunities are great. Father is looking for people like that. Father will meet you wherever you are and help you to get there once you reach out to him and tell him that you want to do that. And it's not as difficult as it sounds. But you do need to work at it. And you need to see that the value of having a really high standing in heaven for eternity is worth making sacrifices in this life. You can have a fancy life in this life and ignore Yah, and you'll regret that for the rest of eternity. Or you can make some sacrifices here and now and have great reward for eternity. So I want to wrap up now by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator today? I would like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him as your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. You might like to pray something like the following: Father Yah, I come to you now. I confess that you are real. I believe in you. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. I ask you to lead me into all truth. I choose to seek to become your friend. I ask you to help me to do whatever is necessary to become your friend. I ask you to bring the people you want into my life, take the people you don't want in my life out. I ask you to open the doors in my life you want opened and close the doors you want closed. I ask you to help me to be sensitive and obedient to those leadings. I ask you to give me utterance in prayer. I ask you to forgive all my sins. I ask you to show me what I need to do to clean up and deal with all my legacy sin. I ask you to help me in every possible way, Father. I give you my life. I commit to you right now. Amen. I encourage you to pray that prayer or something like it. You can get the recording of this broadcast probably on Sunday or Monday on the website. Or you can email me and I'll send it to you. 5 key documents that are particularly important that all main menu web pages on the website. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. 7 components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they are all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, all one word. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. Email me for the details. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org. to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, as I say, there's over 1,000 web pages there, about 1,000 articles, huge amount of information if you want to get close to Father, much easier than the road that I've walked. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Just to remind you that we've moved from Friday to Thursday, so the next broadcast is Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time US or 8 o'clock UK time and accordingly. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, that last point is so important. The way the world is at the moment, it is highly unlikely that there will be even one believer in right standing at the end of the millennium, about 3003, about May, to pray for Yeshua to return. And if that happens, Yah will lose the contest, Satan will win, and Yah will abandon the earth forever. You can help to make it possible for Yeshua to return. So many Christians are saying Jesus is coming soon. Folks, not true. Jesus is not coming for another 983 years, roughly. Satan has only gone to the pit 17 years ago. He's got to be in the pit for 1,000 years before Yeshua returns. That's all I've got time for tonight. Good night, and I hope to see you again next week. Thank you. Father,